Hello, welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. I'm Andrew.
I would be Scott in that equation.
And I'm Steve.
And you're listening to Weekly Geek Speak.
You are.
In your ears.
This is the bit they go, oh shit, I accidentally pressed Weekly Geek Speak instead of...
music. Anything.
Why do I keep accidentally clicking?
God, it's these three again.
Welcome to the podcast. We talk geeky stuff. We've got some geeky stuff lined up for you this week. You can find us on Spreaker, iTunes, Podcastland, and Stitcher. That's the one. We're also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. Scott and Dan play all kinds of great games on there for you to enjoy. Do check them out on YouTube. And also, we're on Twitter. Give us a follow at Weekly Geek Speak and Facebook, Weekly Geek Speak.
And email us at weeklygeekspeak@gmail.com.
Please do. I thought I'd do as I usually do in the second every other week. We have recommended coming in the first week. I'm going to do my three-word reviews.
Cool beans.
I like this new. This new. What has Andrew been watching? It needs a jingle. Steve, get a jingle.
What has Andrew been watching? What's Andrew been watching this week? Let's hear his three-word reviews. He's a massive geek.
It's not a sitcom. I wanted a quicker jingle.
What has Andrew been watching? That was just a William Shatner impression. I don't know.
This will evolve.
But what has Andrew been watching?
What has he been watching?
Definitely what we want to know. First film I watched since we last recorded was The Running Man. Cheesy old fun.
I love Running Man.
I then watched Homeward Bound with Michael J. Fox as the dog.
Yeah.
7 out of 10. Teary canine caper, or actually teary creature caper, really, because there's a cat in there. It's really nice and really heartbreaking.
Sweet
but you always go, oh, fuck off, when the kids come back and go, they're my pet. I don't care. Yeah. I want to go back to Michael J. Fox being a fun, wacky dog. And Shadow, who's just, again, that father figure thing, the Mufasa thing going on there.
Yeah, I get you.
It's great. I think it's Sally Fields who's the cat.
I think so, actually. I'll have to look incorrect.
I think it's a real lost 90s classic that should be said in the breath with some other stuff, but I really enjoy it. I don't know why. I don't normally like animal. I think it's when they animate the lips. The animals should either not speak or just be animals
just
having fun.
Give them peanut butter and let them...
Put elastic bands on their teeth.
They don't even do that in this. It's just like they... telekinetically speaking or something.
Like in Look Who's Talking. That's a classic.
What a film.
Almost.
Do you prefer that or Look Who's Talking too? Not Look Who's Talking now, surely.
I don't know. I've not seen either for years, I don't know. Maybe we could watch them as a trilogy one weekend.
Can we?
Look Who's Not Talking, me. And this is my bit.
Sorry, Andrew.
We tried to talk.
Almost a recommend. It was very good, really enjoyed it. And that was Captain Phillips, 8 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Intense thanks performance.
Okay.
Better than Captain America?
The first one, yeah.
Better than Sky Captain and the Edge of Tomorrow, or whatever it is.
Captain Pugwash.
Ooh. I always enjoy Captain Pugwash.
Yeah,
but
Captain
he's
up there.
No, it was very good. I think it's a brilliant modern day pirates. It's interesting. And
was it swashbuckling?
It was. Yeah,
was Johnny Depp in it?
It was. Yeah, jumped aboard and was running around. No, but there's the great things in the film, like when Tom Hanks first meets the pirates. That first scene is the first time they actually met each other, and it was really intense when they did it. And it was the first ever acting gig by the guys who play the pirates, Somalian people who came, and they were really good, and it was terrifying. And it's not too hoorah America either, but what really makes it is Tom Hanks' performance in there.
I always fancied it. It always looked quite an intense drama to be watched. I'll probably get around to it one day.
Jack and Jill, 1 out of 10, my own fault.
Okay.
You could have changed it. It was Andrew jerkily went, shall we watch it? And Steve leapt at the chance.
Yes! My third view was, okay, I lolled.
Yeah. Well, that's why you get 6 out of 10.
Straight after Jeff and Jeff. Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin.
5 out of 10. Just say Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, what? Yeah. She, like, literally, as soon as the first encounter happened, she's like, oh, it's Rumpelstiltskin. His weaknesses include his name. And then every time she counted him, it just never comes up.
Yeah.
The first thing he says to her is, give me your baby or say my fucking name.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side, I watched, which is its own film. It isn't Firestarter.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side. Tales from the Dark Side, 6 out of 10. And I put twat, cat, bat.
There's got to be a better way.
Is it a Dr. Seuss movie?
That's really... The first one is about... a twat who gets a mud mummy. Actually, that one, he's not the twat, it's Christian Slater's buddy in that film. He's a bit of a twat, but Christian Slater's in that one, Julianne Moore. Funny Face Tonight. Hall of Fame. Why is his name gone? Steve Buscemi. All in there. The first film. Julianne Moore's first film. Tales from the Dark Side.
Oh, wow.
Can't it just be called Dark Tales?
The second one's about a cat which kills people crawls down people's throats, and the third one's a great one about gargoyles, so I put that
because
it's gargoyles the animated show.
I'm sure we say this every 50 episodes.
Every 50 episodes it deserves to be remembered as the show it was. It was awesome.
I watched Galaxy Quest, which also could have been very easily put in 8 out of 10. Loving accurate parody, I put.
I have a lot of time for Galaxy Quest.
Willy Wonky at Sparky Wright said, cheers lads, you also inspired me to watch Galaxy Quest again this weekend by Grabthar's Hammer, 8.1325.
And it was actually
10.
Talking with Sparky. there or thereabouts, I agree. But Sparky, actually, we had a quick chat about Galaxy Quest because he listened to us, and then it inspired me to watch it, so it went full circle.
That's what the community should
circle
be.
Circle of geek.
I then watched Berserk, The Egg of the King, which is a 6 out of 10 medieval anime androgyny.
Because the things I look for.
The leader of this.
I
couldn't, you know, like sometimes anime characters are a bit androgynous, but the guy who ran this band, it's like a kind of medieval anime, does medievalness. It's quite cool. There's some great scenes and not much to the story. I think it's one of his series. Yeah, it was. The lead guy was, I thought, was a woman for ages.
Oh.
Really awkward. God Bless America.
Great film.
8 out of 10.
Love it.
Heartwarmingly fucked up.
Spot on.
What is it?
Yeah, absolutely spot
it's
on.
It's about a guy who lives by himself, he's divorced, he has horrible neighbours, he hates America's TV, so like X Factory kind of all that stuff that they watch, and it's kind of his world.
We watch that as well, in fairness.
His kind of world goes to shit.
Yeah.
And he
the
then
American
just,
dream has failed him.
Yeah, and he kind of goes, right, I'm going to take revenge on the world, so he goes out with a gun to exact revenge. Initially he just wants to do one crime and get away with it, but then he meets this 16-year-old girl who's like, you could do something great with this, and they go off on this kind of road trip of murder. It's kind of...
It's darkly funny.
It is funny, really, and it makes
like
you...
American Beauty-esque Bonnie and Clyde.
It is. It's that's pretty much spot on. Like Natural Born Killers mixed in there as well.
Yeah.
It's a really good watch. Really interesting. Makes you think about your morals and your sidings. The girl, to knock it down from a 9, the girl gets a bit annoying. She's a bit whiny, but overall, it's a great film. Really interesting. And anyone who knows my hate of cinema audiences, there's a great scene in that film.
There is
about cinema audiences, and they should play that fucking scene before every fucking film.
That would be incredible.
The Deadly Spawn, which I recommended, When Fallacies Attack. We talked about that. You gave me some better ones. What would have been my decommend after Jack and Jill? I watched next was Hick, starring Chloe Moretz and Eddie
I've
Redmayne.
Seen that go past.
An engaging average drama.
Yeah, it looked dramery.
I should engage with these characters, you know. It's about a girl, Chloe Moretz, she's 13, she runs away from home. She hitches a ride with Eddie Redmayne, who does a very good job in here with an American accent, actually. And then...
Is Julianne Moore the mum? No.
No, she's not in it.
Who's the mum?
Juliette Lewis. There's the
Juliette Lewis.
But I didn't like any of the characters. I didn't connect with them. I just sat there. It was rubbish. And finally, I watched My Neighbour Totoro, one of my top 10 films, and I just put I Love Japan.
Is it your favourite Ghibli?
It's two up there. It's Princess Mononoke and that head-to-head. But yeah, that was what Andrew was listening.
That's cool.
Watching, playing. Oh,
Andrew, Andrew was doing stuff.
I said the TV was on.
Can I add to the end of that?
Yours.
Because I watched The Houses October Built and thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm. It was a really strong 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see your... It was really well done found footage. I bought into it. It was great. Interspersing the tour of the haunted houses and the general stuff that goes on in America was great with the real life interviews. But the end...
Trailed off.
Just now. There's so many... I knew where I wanted it to go and it's like I was buying into it right until the... creepy, jumpy, scary,
fun,
edge of your seat, well done, likable characters, and just clever, but just missed out on the 8 because
a month is kind of a concept, isn't it? And concepts don't traditionally build things, do they?
You've spoiled the
ending. So how does October build something?
You've just ruined the ending.
Do we find out a calendar?
It's a calendar. Just there with some little arms built with
October
bricks.
Is her uncle who's a carpenter and he's built a little house.
Oh, well, that
ruined it for everyone.
That needs to be more clear. That needs to be way more clear.
But well worth a watch.
But again, the monks are named after Roman gods, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they must have been in October. I don't know what I'm doing.
God of world building.
I don't know what I'm doing right now. I think I just wanted to talk, not see Phil.
Yeah, okay. So there you are. Send your 3-word reviews to @weeklygeekspeak on Twitter or on Facebook if you fancy it. Let's move to the open forum, which Scott doesn't have one. I'll go to Steve.
Hello.
But feel free to interject one of your own.
My open forum. I watched a film called Killer Legends, a documentary that looked at urban legends and the myths that inspired them. Very interesting. Wouldn't go above a 7. It was interesting. It was quite well done. The two main people were a bit annoying and it tried a bit too hard in places to be like quirky in the middle. You know, there's sort of bits where they talk about stuff. I don't know, but it worked. It was good. So they explored the Candyman. So they went to Texas to explore the myths of tainted candy and a man that used the legend of tainted candy on Halloween to kill and murder an 8-year-old boy, which inspired the Candyman movie. So that was the first one that they touched on.
Oh. Candyman.
Yeah.
Candyman. Sugar. Candyman.
Candyman. Candyman. But would you ever say his name into a mirror 5 times?
Yeah, I'd say Christina Aguilera's name into a mirror.
Yeah?
No, if you do it 5 times, she comes out.
Does she?
Yeah, and you go all dirty.
Oh.
You get dirty.
Oh. Gotta get dirty.
Stop it.
You ring the alarm, then you throw an elbow.
Gotta get dirty.
I think Candyman is Christina Aguilera's best song, and I defy any of you to challenge me.
Yeah, really, that's not where I expected that discussion to go. Yeah.
But
Candyman, creepy. No, I really love it as a horror film.
Don't like it, boring, I mean, average.
You're not a fan.
The beauty of those sort of urban legends, like say this in the mirror 5 times, when you're of a certain age or of a certain superstition, your imagination plays games with you, and that's what makes it a beautiful, powerful idea. But yes, I would say it because it's ridiculous.
Isn't it? It must also be screwed in there with Bloody Mary, though, because the Candyman, that's Bloody Mary, and I don't know
where
children comes from.
Yeah, but it's one of the... I watched it at a time where I still wouldn't say it because it caught me at the right time and terrified me. I bought into my fears and I still wouldn't do it in a mirror. I tried once when I was...
It's the power of someone asserting something to you. Because I remember once we lived near a woods in our house, near our house.
Yeah.
And then we went to the woods, we were quite young. And then one of them told me in the most sincere kid voice you ever said, "Right, whatever you do, there's round the back of that tree, there's some toadstools. Never shit on them." because a troll will get you.
You just shit on my mushrooms, young man.
And then we had this kid who was like, you know, he was one of those. He was like, "Fuck off. I'm going around there now." I had a shit. And me and my friend just went, "Do what?" And to this day, I'm not sure if I ran away from the milk having a public shit or the fact a troll could appear.
Oh my God.
It's the immediate.
Or if it was just funny to leave him having a shit.
Just on his own in the behind a bush.
What?
Like, you were 24 years old.
Why are you here? Trying to see if a troll comes out.
The thing I don't get about all of that is he's taking a shit in the woods. He's got no fucking toilet paper.
No.
He's going to get the nickname Stinky Barry if he does that.
Stinky Barry.
Maybe the troll's just trying to be friendly. Excuse me, you're out, caught out in the woods.
Do you want to use my bathroom?
Do you want some
toilet? Yeah, troll is coming.
It's funny when you're of an age.
Yeah, come on, I'll help. But everyone just goes, oh, it's a fucking troll!
But when you're that age, you're like, you're 95% sure that's bollocks. But there's that weird, like, what if that was real?
Yeah.
How would I deal with a troll?
That's the best legend ever. In fact, I want James's picture.
Me and you stood there while Scott just swatted.
I did not do it. That's the Star Wars. No. Right.
With the troll gang, who's this guy?
If that happens, I resign. First of all, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I ran.
Wouldn't you worry about getting like mushroom poisoning up your arse?
I didn't do it. Yes, if I was that person, I would worry about
my friend. My friend's got a rash. My friend's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I was all alone.
You were
and I had a shit on a toadstool. That's what you want to hear? Is that what you want, people?
And that's the story I just told people.
You're a troll baiting exhibitionist.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's all I am.
Is this why you haven't watched Troll Hunter yet? Too many memories.
Too many memories of me shitting in the woods.
To me, that's as ludicrous as going to a haunted house with a tape recorder and trying to get ghosts to have a chat with you. I think we should do our own version of these ghost programs where we go and shit on toadstools and see if we can find a troll.
Can we? For our Halloween podcast this year.
Go to Norway.
Right, we've all made it. We're in Norway. Some box pops with Norwegians going, have you heard about these trolls that appear on your ship?
On a minute, I'd do it. I would do it, but I'm really constipated, so I'm not going to do it.
Oh.
Bullshit.
Oh, well, God.
I'll give him the laxatives.
It brings new meaning. Oh. We're just putting the stool into the stool, aren't we?
Oh, I love open forum. The beauty of it is you've got no fucking idea where it's going to go.
I always thought I told you this story, but
no, honestly, you've never told me.
That's amazing.
Trolls have come up before. I wonder why I've just not mentioned it. Probably because you twist
and
it
dark
to make out
your
I
mind.
Chat.
Well, you're the one who keeps bringing up that you did it now.
I know.
So,
dear me.
Oh, dear.
see where this one takes
did
us.
Did you wipe your ass afterwards?
Did I?
Yeah.
I ran home. The story is...
With the shit still.
I wish I could remember his name. He wasn't even a proper friend. He was like an acquaintance of the other
friend. Oh, he's an acquaintance. Oh. Mm.
She was called Lauren, and I can't remember what he was called. But we ran. Oh, did we run. Boy, did we run.
See Scott run. Run, Scott, run.
Run. Trolls might come.
See up Scott your butt.
where poo comes then.
Anyway.
So that's not where I expected that to go. The second one, they explored the myth of the babysitter who learns the twisted calls are coming from upstairs in the house, which has been inspired many, many films.
I used to do that.
One missed call, did you? One missed call, scream. Yeah. And apparently there was a babysitter in the 1950s that was killed, and that happened.
That's
inspired a lot of films.
Once just hanging around. I can't do this. I was just hanging around with my friends, and the rumour was, like, if you called someone and did a shit on the phone, a troll would come into the person's house.
Out the phone.
But I couldn't do it, so I got Scott to do a poo on the phone instead.
On this point, though, I used to have Jumbo and Scream. I bought a... Are we still laughing about trolls?
I can't breathe.
I was only 20. When I was younger, I bought a voice modulator from Scream, so you could do the
experiment.
Yeah. And then we decided we'd ring our mate up, and I'd do it on the phone, because we're very, you know, united. Yeah. And then there were a different mode that I'd only just discovered as I rung. So as his mum picked up, it went, it was like an alien-y voice, so we were like,
it's my viewing.
This is like a combined open forum. I watched a film and Scott's childhood stories.
Carry on.
And then I realised halfway through going, so it, and then I had to quickly flick the button. So he went, "Hello, what are you doing?" And I imagine that was the most terrifying bit.
Oh, God. That's brilliant.
And then I took a shit.
What was the next story, Steve? See what Scott's got from his childhood.
So they then investigated the legend of the Hook Man. Teens in the 1950s and 60s. The myth was that teens were terrorised by a man for a hook with a hand that inspired the urban legend movie. And apparently the Phantom in 1946, the killer killed five couples in Lover's Lane, and that's what sort of inspired
this
myth.
And was banging the head on the top of the thing, yeah.
And you hear that, and then they opened the door and it was a head. And
a troll appears.
Yeah. A troll when you...
Funny enough, on this point.
Yeah. I was in Lover's Lane. Were you dogging?
My mate had a shed. And for some reason, they had a picture, like one of those like baby, like girls have, like baby dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like hung up by a hook. So he opened his shed, and I was like, obviously, like, what the fuck? So I went, that's right, odd. And then really, like, dryly, my mate went, I know, I don't know why we keep him in there. To this day, I don't know what he was referring to, but I still find that really amusing, that the hung-up, sort of decimated doll was really normal to him, but something really mundane was like, yeah, no, tell me about it.
Tell me about it. And then you...
And then I shouted, yeah, exactly. I turned him out, yeah. And he went, hey, yeah! Full circle. We've got a film.
And then the last myth they investigated was the obvious one, the killer clown. But apparently the clown scares have been around since the
80s. What do you mean an obvious one?
Well, it's people being afraid of clowns. It's a really obvious...
It's not an urban legend. It's more of a collective...
But yeah, theory. It's the sort of myth of the killer clown. Apparently it sort of originated in the 80s. Manifested in chlorophobia. Chicago with John Wayne Gacy sort of buying into the sort of John Wayne Gacy being that clown masked sort of killer, and that's where that sort of came from, the sort of killer, fear of clowns, and they follow that origin and they trace that, and that's really, really interesting. And obviously we got
what
It
was,
and other films based
what was
on
that,
that
not long ago. It was like a thing on the internet when they made out people kept seeing a clown in a certain town, and he was like always stood outside a random window and
with balloons and a horrible face.
Yeah, what was that?
And people were taking pictures, and
it was a really weirdly viral thing for a bit, and it was really interesting.
Was it a viral thing for Paranormal? Because Paranormal Activity did the baby one with the pushchair.
This wasn't a publicity stunt. This was a real man dressed as an evil clown with balloons that would just, at night, maybe go in a kebab shop and stand all the way down the street in a light so people would go, fuck, take a picture.
So they were like random viral pictures and videos of like, fuck, what's he doing? What's this? And it was really fascinating.
It was really cool.
It's horrible.
It's horrible, yeah.
It was perfectly done as well.
Yeah, I need to look that up.
That's a good one.
That's awesome.
Steve, I don't think I contributed.
Steve sat me down in his desk. I think Steve, living with quite a feminist housemate, she didn't quite enjoy Space Dandy.
No,
so you asked me to watch Space
Dandy. Why didn't she like Space Dandy?
Didn't buy into the first episode.
It was awesome.
Well, first 5 minutes.
I have to say, Space Dandy is on Netflix. If you want to check it out, it's on the UK Netflix. It's we're not sponsored by Netflix. We should be.
I was thinking, miss. 19 times you mentioned it in the other podcast.
But it basically, well, Scott, how would you describe Space Dandy that Steve sat us down to?
A pervy space force.
Brilliant 300 reviews. But the thing that was annoying about it was I thought... It was too pervy. It crossed it and did that annoying anime pervy thing that went too far. Mm. But a lot of it fascinated me.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it was fascinating.
Yeah. We only watched one episode of that, but I quite enjoyed that. And for some reason, anime's been coming back into my life. We caught up with a little bit of our Pantene Stocking, which is a filthy Powerpuff Girl.
Yeah, Pantene Stocking is
really
brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
I like Powerpuff
Girl. Really,
it's really funny.
Wait,
but really
that creepy, didn't it? Really quickly.
Yeah,
so... I love them.
But it is. It's Powerpuff Girls with swears and just... filth and innuendo.
It really childish, really immature, but really adult as well. Yeah. But funny, genuinely funny. Really, but structured just like Powerpuff Girls.
You get the
villain
opening.
Comes along, they destroy it. You know, it's yeah. so silly, so funny. But the one I really wanted, I've been really glad I've managed to find an anime TV series again that I enjoy, because Ghost in the Shell standalone complex was about what was keeping me going.
Yeah,
but I've managed to jump on. And now I watched the first Attack on Titan, and I thought it was a bit shouty. But
yeah.
a really fantastic concept, and it hooked me, and I'm now 8 episodes in, and I absolutely love this TV mm-hmm. show. It's brilliant, and it's terrifying. Basically, it's the story of these people who live in a village. It was adapted from a manga, anime graphic novel, but they live in this village. They've got these giant walls, because outside the village, giants live, and the giants' sole purpose of survival is eating humans. So they live there, and there hasn't been an attack on this city for 100 years by this point. But to start the episode, where a titan bigger than they've ever seen, which has no skin, kicks the door in, and then all these other titans come in and start eating everyone. And our hero, his mum gets eaten, and it's the most horrible, depressing first episode. But he's terrifying. These giants are brilliant. Giants don't get the service they deserve, I think. You hear a lot of stories like the Grimm Tales about giants and things, and
yeah.
you never really see them done properly in movies, because they're a bit high concept, really, aren't they?
they're a tall order.
But this anime series is fantastic, and I really like how brave it is, where it goes. I love the characters it creates. I love how it takes you through time, and now we're now they've trained in the army and things. It's really, really cool. I really enjoy it. And I'd advise anyone to watch it. Mm. The one that I didn't think I'd get into, and I watched as a laugh, was Princess Jellyfish.
Right. Okay. Oh, okay.
Now, get this for a concept. It's a story of, I think it's 5 otaku girls, who are nerdy girls who live in Japan. One loves trains, one loves collecting action figures, one loves jellyfish. You know, they're all nerdy, shy girls who they just live in their little sorority house, if you like, study, and just they live the battle against the stylish, which is what they call fancy looking girls, you know, girly girls. And Tokyo's got a huge culture of fashion,
yeah.
and they're very shy, and they call this the stylish. Anyway, one day this girl is going to the shop. Coming back from the shop late at night, and she noticed that a jellyfish is in a pet shop with another jellyfish, which means that jellyfish is going to die. But she can't go in and tell the shop attendant this, because he's a stylish man, and she's really shy. So what happens is this girl appears, who's a stylish herself, and she saves the jellyfish with her, but she can't let her into the sorority house because she's a stylish. Oh my god, what's going to happen?
Oh.
It also turns out, big twist, that this girl is not a girl, it's a cross-dressing guy.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Really interesting, silly manga series, which is really lovely as well, because it's got a great relationship between friends, it's really that wacky anime.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got a really interesting concept of this cross-dressing guy who's really funny.
Is that on streaming as well?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, amazing.
But 2 really good anime TV series, completely different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Moves well away from the pervy space dandy stuff, which annoys me. Frankly, although I like Panty and Stocking, so that's double standards. I'd say Panty, Stocking, Princess, Jellyfish, and definitely Attack on Titan. I think you'd like that, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I thought about you when I watched it is one of the battles last 9 episodes, which has felt very Dragon Ball to me.
Which is coming back for a new series. I'm so excited.
Yeah?
So excited.
No, I've never seen it.
It's one of those things where you'll get it, or you'll watch it, or you won't.
Right.
I've seen
the poor excuse of a movie that I watched on the plane.
Oh, that's fucking,
and that's terrible.
That's
my only exposure to it.
That's absolutely,
and countless t-shirts with the characters on.
It's like seeing a man in a robe being called Batman,
right,
and someone telling you that's
is
Batman.
It a series you can kind of jump into, or would you have to watch episode 1 and know where you're going? Or
sure, you can jump in.
Alright. And just see what you think.
It's all like larger than life, the alien plots and massive fights. It's all about it's all about power and energy and transformations. And
we played that game you brought round one time. We played the computer game. But it made no sense. There were so many buttons and things. And what am I doing? Oh, yeah. I pulled a move off.
My mates lent me Gurren Lagann.
I don't know, I'm not that.
I think it's on Netflix, actually, the first season at least. He's lent me 3 seasons of it. It's something to do with robots. He's convinced I'm going to love it based on my love for Dragon Ball Z. So maybe I'll have an anime section.
Sure, that one. Do watch Attack. You've watched a few, haven't
I've
you?
Watched Attack on Titan. I've watched 5.
Mm.
Yeah, and again, like you said, the first episode, I went, I can't not watch another one. That was the most depressing. What the fuck is actually happening? This is just there's none of this slow story build up. It's just like, la la la. What?
Mm.
It's over the top. It's insane. And I again, it's time. There's so many things I need to watch. So I just
but a good start.
Really good start. Really enjoyed it. And it's something that's on my list of when I have time, I will sit down. And also the thing that excited me a lot, live check action. It out online. There is a trailer for a live action one. Mm. And oh my God, does it do justice to it. Mm. It looks incredible.
Because
you hear live action, having seen it, and you think, giants with no skin and think, what? But oh my goodness, they've it done does, an I've amazing seen it, yeah. job.
Yeah. I actually, it reminds me a lot of the Battle Royale graphic novel in terms of there's a lot of characters and you like those characters and they all have their own traits and then it just, anyone can go and it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Much like The Walking Dead in that sense, that you don't know where it's going to go every, and it's great. It's really, I got hooked. Yeah. I watched about 5 episodes back to back.
The giants are non-stop. There's no little lull for story. It's just, I got.
Oh, actually, I disagree. I think it's got a really good story.
Oh,
there is a lull.
Oh, yeah, but there's no sort of
it develops
quiet bits.
Once you're in the battles now, but it develops it well and it just explores the characters. It doesn't just go, which lots of anime does. Like, panel, funny background, slow-mo jump through the air. It's not none of that. Yeah, it's a really well-done program.
I know you said the bit about the army. I got to the bit just... I think I'm a couple of episodes before because I'm...
The
where
battle
they're just
crossed.
Talking about that, the army, and going, we should do something about this. Not spoilers, but yeah.
You think you've only got 2 episodes in from the sound of it?
Have I?
Because they train in the army by 3, 4, and 5.
Maybe I have.
See, I'm an expert on it already.
He knows. No.
Anyway, let us know what anime you're listening to, reading or watching. Not working for me
whatever
today.
Whatever you're digesting.
Yeah. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know your troll adventures or any toadstool adventures or any shitting adventures.
Yeah.
But they have to specifically be one of those. If you hit the hat trick, you win a prize.
No, I'd love to genuinely hear any stupid... like urban legends or stupid things he did as kids, just like Scott's adventure.
There was at the time, there was a weird rumour in our area that like there was this red van, and if you saw this red van, you were fucked. Mm. Like this red van only came out,
figuratively, literally.
you'd be abducted, you'd be killed. You see this red man, you better do one. And then it was just something like this came out casually all the time, this weird urban myth. And then one day we're walking home from school and this red van casually went past. And then I don't even think I realised what had happened. And then I looked, and then my mate was like halfway up the road. So I don't know, it was just this weird, fuck! And then to this day I was like, it took me like 5 minutes to go, what's happening?
Yeah. As you were holding to that, and did a shit.
That's how you escape.
So today we are reviewing what has been taking the internet, at least, by storm. Mad Max Fury Road. We're keeping our eye on this over the past few trailer trashes in the latter half of last year. We even watched the first Mad Max to varying degrees of opinion last year as well. Or was it earlier this year? I think it was. I keep forgetting we're halfway through the year.
When was it?
I think it was this year.
I'm pretty sure.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mm. Or maybe it was...
This year seems like it's only days old.
It's weird. It's really bizarre.
All these plans. Anyway, yes, Mad Max Fury Road. I believe 2 of the 3 parties here have seen it. Have you seen it yet?
I thought you meant Pitch Perfect 2. I got excited. No, I've not seen that either.
I haven't seen either of them. I thought I could parlay this into a Pitch Perfect 2 review.
Did you manage to see Pitch Perfect
2? I saw Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, how was it?
It's not as good as the first. Enjoyable.
Yeah.
If you like the first, you get more of that, don't you?
Mm.
Okay, that makes me happy because I know we both mutually liked the first one, but the things that I've read were like it doesn't channel anything the first one does, and it just tries too hard and it's crap. So that makes me happy.
It looks very much to me like how Magic Mike XXL will be to Magic Mike. It's just like, here's with a return to what you like. Yeah. Some men dancing around in their pants and things.
Yeah, well, it's not as good. And it is a cynical sequel, but it's enjoyable.
The music is good, that's the main thing. Because I like the music in the first one.
So?
Okay, it's fine.
We're not going to infuse overly.
No, I'm just... I'm glad you enjoyed it, because that means I'll enjoy it.
I do resent the time.
So Mad Max Fury Road is what we're here to review. We saw it with all bells and whistles in IMAX 3D row H.
G.
G. Where we should have been in.
I like H.
H. We were talking about this earlier. And funnily enough, it was a little overwhelming, especially in the trailers when you first arrive. I've normally been like sinking straight into IMAX, but we were a bit further forward. So we're going to review the layout of the cinema then, yeah. There are good seats and bad seats. Okay. But so this is bad, just a bit overwhelming. Fortunately, I think that benefited the film because the film was just a bombastic assault on the senses, really, wasn't it, from the moment the penny dropped. I think the film was pretty much tailor-made for me. But I'll hear what Scott has to say first.
Do you want a four-word review, a three-word review, a two-word review, or a one-word review?
Four,
Crazy Town Banana Pants.
Crazy Town Banana Pants.
Okay.
It's like watching Slipknot on tour. Can you imagine that's how they get from town to town?
I hope that will be awesome, going down the M1 and all of a sudden that goes past you.
I enjoyed it, but I could not tell you for a second why. Because if you want plot or narrative or character depth, this is not a film to watch.
No. No, I agree.
But if you want lunacy, just interesting throwaway ideas, world building and odd bits of stylish flourish, it's brilliant.
It is like they've picked you up by the scruff of your neck and catapulted you into this world. Now, you know your background basically from the old Mad Max films, but this isn't that either. It is a psychedelic version of it. It's like Mad Max 2 on ecstasy.
It's like 2.
Basically you take that last act of Mad Max 2 with the tanker and that's your film. Now, it gives you enough to support that storyline. There isn't much of a storyline in there. It's basically A to B, isn't it? Like, that's what we're doing. And it's fine with that. And you know what? I'd rather watch a blockbuster popcorn muncher like that, which just goes, right, here's our stall, it's mental, than Transformers or something that tries to weave in some kind of stupid storyline, this, that and the other, and overcomplicating it and giving you a 9-hour thing that you're just like, well, we just would like to see Transformers.
Could have done without the half an hour of Sam finding glasses.
Yeah, exactly. It goes, here's the world, here's some mental shit, here's some more mental shit, look at how crazy and bad the world's gone. Right, you're gone. There you are, now another thing's happened, now another set piece. And I actually got to a point, and you have your first breather at about 25 minutes in,
right.
And I needed that, you know, because it goes from... You don't even go from 0 to 60. You're already at 60 when the film starts, you know.
Okay.
It goes, hello, I'm Mad Max. And you're off. Right. But it works. It really works for me because I think it is almost like you picked up a director from the 70s, smissed out the next 40 years and plopped him down now and said, right, here's your budget, here's your potential, there it is. And he's like, yeah, go, you know. Because if you look at Vanishing Point, if you look at all these films from the 70s, that kind of exploitation film, it is that on a big Hollywood budget without being, oh, we're doing an exploitation film. You can sail George Miller, this is his heart and soul and what he loved and what he wanted to do, but his dream was so wacky that you couldn't quite do it.
Yeah.
It did actually really remind me of the early 90s anime, the late 80s, early 90s anime, like Fist of the North Star and things, with the kind of characters that were created. Yeah. I also quite liked how it was brutal, but it didn't feel that you needed to exploit that as well. Do you know what I mean?
Casually brutal.
Yeah, it's like, this is... people get run over and things, but it doesn't go for a nice big shot of their face getting crunched. You know that the horrible things have happened to people back at the Cinidad, whatever it's called, the Citadel area, that where it's a horrible world. It's a world that's gone wrong. It's almost back to the Stone Age, and horrible things happen, but it doesn't need to give you a half an hour introduction into the horrible world that it is. You get that from what's said and what's seen in this quick flashes from the very characters. You know that there's a problem with the genetics and things because everyone's a bit gammy, aren't they?
gammy.
And the females, the people who do come out without any genetic defects, the beautiful people are held in esteem or used for blood in Mad Max's case, this, that, and the other. So he does do some interesting ideas, but it lets you think about them. It just goes, this is happening.
Yeah, it doesn't hold your hand with any of that.
No.
It just gives you little hints and suggestions to fill out the world at your leisure, which is good, actually. I really like that.
So George, obviously, it's him revisiting the Mad Max universe. How does Tom Hardy sort of... Is the character same as sort of the one Mel Gibson played? Has he kept it this quiet, mysterious, brooding sort of not much dialogue, or has that changed because it's sort of modern day? This is Tom Hardy; he needs his dialogue and his screen time, or has it kept that sort of character?
He definitely feels like he's honing that Mad Max from the later films, at least. He's kind of the most reluctant hero in the world. In fact, I would say the film is actually more Charlize Theron's than his.
Right,
he's just a guy. As he always has been from later on in the Mad Max one, there's a guy who just seems to get caught up in these things and is trying to do the best for himself. But he has got his heart in the right place at the end of the day, and that's why he does stick around. And, but he's done all. It's exactly the same things that happened in both Thunderdome and Mad Max 2, that he decides to sod off and then goes, actually, wait a minute. You know what I mean? These people do need my help. But it's very reluctant. And I think he does a good job, Tom Hardy. But really, the person you want to speak about is Charlize Theron.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, isn't it? Because they don't give him much to, like, sink his teeth into acting-wise or anything. So he's quiet for half the film, running around like Mr. Bean. and then when he does talk, it's always, like, sounds like really forced, one word, not used to talking to people. So you just have to infer and colour a lot in. But all those things Andrew said, yeah.
The thing that they often do with reboots or quasi-reboots, as this in this case it seems to be, is they want to do the whole story again. Much like everything we've said at the start with the world introducing, we know Max has got some issues. Even if you'd never seen the first Mad Max film and seen what happened
it's
with his
character. Mad Max, I think you have to assume.
But they explain his... In the first opening bit, he says, I get haunted by the flashbacks of the people I should have saved. And that's why he's reluctant to help people, because of this. And that's it. All you need to know. And he is visually plagued by the people who have died because of it. But he's kind of it's quite similar in terms to The Walking Dead in that sense, isn't it? The people, obviously, he's lost tons of people along the way. And that was well done as well. And again, that overact, we didn't need flashbacks of babies getting run over, do we?
They did heavy sell that near the beginning a bit, and then they calmed down after a while, because they were like every other moment he was seeing his dead kid, like every other moment. I know,
get it, yeah.
In fact, at this point, just look startled, I'll infer it.
Is it right that like all the effects and stunts were practical? There was barely any green screen.
It was mainly stunt work done, and in fact, when they first screened the film, I read this on the trivia, a person stood up and said, "How the hell did you do that?" And that person was Robert Rodriguez, who does very similar films, and it was because he wanted to do it that way, and it was dangerous. And Tom Hardy even said, I read an interview, he said he got so angry at George Miller because he was like, how can he see anything that's going on here? Because I can't see 2 inches in front of me because there's sand in my face, there's this going on, there's cars going everywhere, there's noise, there's fire, what's going on? And he got so angry, he's like, you're not directing this, you're just watching a mess. And then actually when he saw the film, he apologised in front of an audience to George Miller and said, sorry, I was an arse, you know, because you've done this and I don't know how. And I think that might be the 70s kind of filmmaking. I mean, he hasn't done very much, has he? He's done The Witches of Eastwick and then...
Big Babe picking the city.
Did he?
Did he, yeah. Really?
Oh.
Which, well, you know.
Very gosh. Similar to...
Probably his best film. I think everyone agrees.
If you had to score it out of 10.
What?
Mad Max.
I was going to say Babe picking the city.
Oh, Babe picking the city. Well, both.
Well, Babe is an 8. Yeah.
Okay.
We all know that.
All
right. Babe picking the city. It's a solid 6.
I'd go around 5 or 6.
Okay.
Well, you had issues with Mad Max. Watching this one, did it even feel anything remotely close to it?
Oh, it felt like the world's different. It's still a bit brum-brum porn, obviously, because that's the entire film. But I like the sort of dystopian, nihilistic nature of it. And I think it's meant to be trashy and camp and have a great deal of lunacy to it. So I kind of dug it, for what it were. This is the film, well, obviously not the same budget and over-the-top nature, but this is kind of the film I wanted the first one to be.
Yeah.
That's all I was looking for when I put that first one on, and I was a bit disappointed. But I dug this. I completely get why people like this. It's mental.
I absolutely loved it. It's right up my street. It's campy, over-the-top, violent, stupid, bombastic, how I like bombastic. It's ripped from the 70s, plonked in our time, as I've said, and it works brilliant for me. I could, but it's, I almost get the feeling of Gravity here, with the sense that in the cinema it was a huge spectacle, and I would urge anyone to see it in IMAX 3D with everything going on, because it is just fantastic, and I don't think you'll get the same effect. I mean, there's a car with hundreds of amps with a guy and a guitar and then drummers behind it, and that sense tingles down my spine.
It's awesome, yeah.
Because the bits that got me is when the tank is stuck and they're miles away and you can still hear it coming, and that's just terrifying. Because I used to have a dream where I couldn't, you know, the old your legs don't work, you're stuck, you can't get up, you can't run away, and I could hear like drums and music playing and giants were coming, and for some reason there were people with hula hoops as well, you know, those that swing around the waist. Whoa. It's like an evil circus with giants were coming my way. And I couldn't fucking run, and this is what that felt like, you know, an evil circus was coming to get them and they had to run, and I love that. I don't know, it taps down to that bit. I really like the style of the war boys, like the tribalism and things, and how they brought up all their children to just believe about war.
Women were all Joe's suckered him into thinking he's some sort of demigod, isn't he? And like, and all their sacrifice will be rewarded in Valhalla. And it's like, wow.
And I think that's an interesting, for his little bit of story development that, and his name's escaped.
Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt. Nux. Yeah, his story, because he kind of has to realise this, being a little war boy. It's just, I think it's interesting. It deals with a lot, but not very much at the same time and things. And I want to go back. And I've heard that he has signed on for a few more films from Mad Max as well. So I'm not. I would kind of hope that it would be a one-off thing and you would forget about it now. But if there are more, I will be there, you know. And it's definitely the best film I've seen for my tastes this year. And I'd give it a 9. I would give it a 9. Wow. But I think that's more because it is just
like the very visual spectacle and the whole.
It's a visual spectacle, and the fact that that's the kind of stuff I love anyway. Mm. You know, if I like any car porn, it's dirty, mucky car porn, not shiny, Fast and Furious car porn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Where gasoline's at a premium and coveted by the entire world, rather than just just guzzling, gasoline guzzling nonsense for no reason. For family.
Family.
But it's just a really good cinema watch, basically, I think. What would you give it out of 10 if you were to?
Strong 7, maybe. Because I do like story and character death and stuff, and that's usually what I go for chiefly out of these films. But it's stylishness, world building, weird nihilistic nature, and just absolute off the wall, jumping on a trampoline and dribbling craziness is weirdly endearing, and it's incredibly fun. So I'd give it 7 because it's fun trash.
Okay.
It's well made trash, which is a compliment.
But although I've given it a high score, the world going insane for it as it seems to have, I'm not sure it warrants that.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
It's a good film,
okay.
And it's only a 9 out of 10 because it's tapped into everything I love.
Yeah, and it assaulted your senses in IMAX, whereas in a few months' time on DVD you might go, oh.
But I think it's got a charm to it, though, and I think people are responding to that. Because everyone I've talked to about it kind of gone, couldn't tell you why, but I really liked it.
Mm.
And I think it's just a weird palate-cleansing bit of crazy blockbuster action.
And especially with more and more, like, for example, one of our complaints about the Avengers was there's too much going on in it now. There's too many things trying to be woven in. Mm. And then you get this, which there's...
Yeah, it couldn't be less.
Yeah.
If there were any less, it wouldn't count as a film.
Okay.
It's crazy. Wow. But I think that it gives... It's a bit more than Scott's giving it credit for. I think they do take it somewhere and there is things going on. But as we said, it's almost like you've got to build some of that around it. It's not going to hold your hand.
It's not a criticism. I like films like this that keep it simple. I adore Dread.
Because, yeah, it's a good example.
Because it focused on building a tone in a world, and then it kept its plot so fucking straightforwardly simple that it could just make everything right.
That's a great comparison, actually.
Don't overreach for anything. And that's what this did.
And I love Dread as
well. So it's not a criticism by any means. Mm. Just pointing it out to people if they haven't watched it. Mm. Don't expect these things.
If you're going in expecting something.
Yeah. And don't come out and tell me you didn't like it because of that. Because I'm telling you now, it won't have that for you.
But see it. Definitely see it. See it in the cinema if you can, I would say, if you haven't already. Send us your 3-word reviews of Mad Max to @weeklygeekspeak. We'd love to hear what you think.
IMAX is a different cinema experience.
It is. It's more immersive. Yeah. Full of willies.
You can't do the popcorn trick. You got to go for something a bit different.
I don't think you can do that with our bags.
No. Have you tried?
I think you need like a bucket though, don't you?
Yeah, you need the hole. Like the American. Proper.
You could rip a hole in the bottom.
But you have to... That bit you cut open the popcorn before you jab it in, don't you just lose loads of popcorn?
So I was thinking, and to push it in, you've got to move the popcorn with your penis.
So it would spill out.
So it would start spilling. I imagine it's quite hard, and it would look like you were fucking it. And you've got to do it subtly, so it would have to be like a...
And if you're one of these people that's put tons of butter on, it's
Actually, that might
really
be better.
But really hot butter.
But also, you need the popcorn to obscure your sort of phallus, don't you?
Yeah.
So, you can't let too much popcorn escape, because then you've just got a little red mushroom poking out your popcorn. Mm.
It's all a bit weird.
Oh, hello. Hi. At the end of the show, we're talking about our cinema trips. our cinema trip tricks. It's the end of the show.
It's the end of the show as we know it.
And Steve has been beavering away all morning with his beaver.
Beavers.
How's your dam coming along?
All right, yeah. The water's kind of just slightly trickling.
Well, that's a shit dam then, isn't
it? No, only slightly.
But what's the purpose of a dam, Andrew?
To stop the water.
Damn.
Hey!
That's the quality we've got to now.
Yeah. We are now going to say, what time is it, Steve? I completely lost train of thought.
It's time for This Week the Geeks Have Spoken.
Can I just say at this point, actually? Because you always team me up for a thing. And this time... Was it this or the news? I can't remember which. Andrew put in a little jingle. You going, it's my turn.
Yeah.
And I laughed for about 5 minutes.
I know, I really like that as well.
Because I weren't warned, so I just had to stop it and giggle for a little
while. It was really good.
We lost a bit of sound at the start. Something happened, you know, when it drops. Got that they drop out. So I lost the whole thing. So I thought, I've got to make this somehow. So I made it, and I think I might use it from now on.
It's my turn.
just really amusing.
Anyway, what time is it, Steve?
It's time for This Week the Geeks Have Spoken. Thank you kindly for all your interactions, tweets, reviews and things. And...
Well, you missed that.
We missed it, yeah, we missed it.
I wanted you to make a noise. I was going to do it differently.
But you missed the window, I'd make a noise.
I'm mixing it up.
Carry on.
You should have paused at the appropriate gap. And you would have been treated by a jingle of my own volition.
I think This Week the Geeks Have Spoken, to be in theme with the podcast, should have had a... Slipknot-esque guitar man playing it in anyway.
I put my fingers into my ears. It's the only thing that ever stops the Steve. It's my sleep knot.
Nice. We'll start as we always do with three-word reviews, and Pete Buschbauer, the king of three-word reviews at Popular Outcasts, on his quest to watch 365 films before the year is out.
Where's he up to?
179. So he watched Escape from LA, Tsunami Surfing sequel, 5 out of 10.
I have a guilty pleasure for this one. It isn't as good as Escape from New York.
No,
it isn't. But it is still a fun return back to that world. And I like that. And I forgive it for its slightly shiny cheesiness. Shiny cheese. Cheese that's been left out in the sun.
I
want to see Escape from Barnsley.
No one escapes from Barnsley.
Where someone just drives and it says, you're now entering Sheffield. And it's just Kurt Russell going, thank God.
In fact, escaping from Barnsley is very much like the plot of Mad Max.
It is,
road. Because they're all slightly gammy.
They all know, following you going, God. Oh, we're not that bad. And you're driving.
Come back.
I'm going to go with all the reviews that Pete's written this week because they follow on and you'll see why. Feast. And normally, sometimes if I don't know the film, I look it up and I think, oh, what's this about? I didn't want to look this up because the three-word review kind of almost sells itself. It's face-fucking creatures, 5 out of 10.
I'm there. Oh. 5 out of 10, what's good with...
Alien
sold itself on the face-fucking creatures.
Aren't we all face-fucking creatures?
Exactly. So what kind of... Feast, yeah. But then he watched Feast 2, Sloppy Seconds. Should have dieted, 5 out of 10.
Oh, God, Sloppy Seconds.
I know. But I don't want to look at what they're about because you've sold it. 5 out of 10 or not.
Sure, it's a feast for the eyes.
Poltergeist, the 1982, because we have to say that now. Frightening, despite rating, 8 out of 10.
It's a very good film.
It is. It's the chief example people cite when the old horror and rating thing comes up.
Yes, it's a great film that uses it. That was a heyday of kind of... family scary films, wasn't it? That was we've said before. So, it's a great example of that.
Parents believed you should scare your children. Rotten.
And you should.
Yeah,
you should.
Definitely.
That's why I just jump out at children all day.
The other day I was walking down the road and there was a small child walking next to me, gabbling on to somebody, and she was looking behind her and she walked slam into a lamppost. And the noise was just phenomenal.
Like,
I don't know if she wasn't brained. Anyway, I left her lying on the floor, spat on her.
That happened to me before, though. I dropped a Coke, and Joe, and there's like a dent, and it's coming out. And I went, and then I turned around, and then it went half in my eye, and I went, wah! And then hit a lamp. It was so cartoony, Mr. Bean-esque slapstick.
Moving on from that, he watched Poltergeist 2, Ridiculously Stupid Ending, 6 out of 10.
Not gone beyond the first one, personally. Or you like the?
This is a trilogy that I really enjoy. And I'll move. Poltergeist 3 completely negates predecessors, 4 out of 10. Now, I'll agree with that. It does kind of almost negate the first one, but as a trilogy, I kind of like it. It's one of the trilogies I own on DVD, and I the third one for me scared the shit out of me more than the first one. And that's the third one. Whenever anyone mentions Poltergeist, is the one that sticks in my head. There's a scene in a glass lift and there's a couple of scenes in it that just really stuck with me. So yeah, I don't know, 3 for me is the one that sticks with me. So
interesting.
And then he watched Poltergeist 2015, caused mixed feelings, 7 out of 10.
The impression I've been getting is it's fine, but if you have any sort of feeling to the first one, it's so crushingly unnecessary that you just...
Yeah, I get the impression it does look a lot like everything else that's been out. They've kind of
just modern
stuck
Hollywood
a name,
eyes,
Poltergeist, on top of Insidious 3, and then made Insidious 3 as well, which is also incredibly unnecessary.
But the poster on the buses keeps scaring the shit out of me when the clown face goes by in the morning and it's like 7 in the morning waiting for a bus. Fuck, there's a clown. So maybe I'll stick with that. Jen at J Tidders watched Thal. Intriguing budget fantasy, 7 out of 10. Thanks, Stuntman Psych.
It's alright. So yeah, I agree with that as well about right with the rating. It's worth a watch.
Yeah. She also watched Much Ado About Nothing. William plus Whedon equals love. 9 out of 10.
That's been on my watch list on Netflix for ages.
I had no idea he'd done it. Apparently he did it,
The Avengers.
After the Avengers.
The palate cleanser, yeah.
Yeah, it snuck in.
But he's got all his old faves in, like Phil Coulson's in it. I forget his name. Clark Gregg.
Okay.
Alexis Denisoff. Amy Acker. All his old faves are in there. He just shot it in his house over like a week.
Oh, wow.
And just went, I'm going to do some Shakespeare to just
palate
cleanse the Hulk out of my system.
Wow. Shit. That's pretty cool.
Creative types, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd just sleep, probably.
Yeah, and definitely.
Roll a cigar full of 50s.
Yeah. And she also watched Kingsman Secret Service. Disappointing end joke, 6 out of 10.
Not seen this yet.
I've heard it's really fun.
I watched it. I will be speaking about it next week.
Okay. Oh, well, all right.
The end joke. I know that Matt Miller's gone on record and having been interviewed a few times to try and justify the last scene. It just doesn't fit in context of any of the film. It's just kind of almost thrown in as a kind of, ha, look. And it's like, it just doesn't work.
Okay. Intriguing.
I can tell you what it is, or I can save it. It's entirely up to you. No?
I don't want you to tell me.
No, I don't.
Yeah. For anyone that's seen it, tweet in and let us know your thoughts if you've seen Kingsman.
Without telling us what it is,
let us know your thoughts on the end scene. Superfan Robbie Polanco at Robbie_Polanco saw Avengers. Trailers spoiled it.
The trailers really let this down.
Because you were saying you felt there was a lot more to it. Well, we hoped there was a lot more to it as
but
well.
There wasn't.
I mean, I still think it's a great film, but it did kind of show most of it. And I think that's the way
There's enough action you didn't have to show the Hulkbuster and Hulk.
Mm.
Yeah.
You did not at any point need to tell us Vision were in it.
Do you know what as well?
Because no one bought a ticket because Vision were in it.
No. No, exactly.
That would have been a brilliant surprise.
Yeah. Mm. But this is a credit to Mad Max that even though it had a much more basic story, it didn't give much of that away. It just went, look at all this action in the trailers. Mm. It showed some grub bits, and you didn't really get any indication of who these people were within the thing. Whereas in a lot of trailers now, even Jurassic Park, is that feels like I know what's going to happen.
I mean, less is more. There's better examples, but did one of, because when like the Batman Superman seal kills out and everyone, that's underwhelming.
Mm.
But do you know anything?
Mm.
Or did it just tease some larger themes that will be at play?
People aren't happy with Superman. Batman's there.
You saw a few choice shots of Superman, two choice shots of Batman, and a standoff.
Yeah.
You saw fuck all.
Yeah.
Awesome. Star Wars as well.
Star Wars. Yeah. Few choice shots to tease you in. You know, fuck. That's how it should be.
Mm.
You don't want to see the film.
Yeah, but it's really funny. We say this now, and we see all these trailers, and we think, oh, it's a, you know, they're giving away the story. And actually, I was going to bring it as one of my open forums. We could still have a longer discussion on it. But just as a quick aside, I watched the Batman 89 trailer because I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back. It's nearly 4 minutes. Fuck me, it's the entire film.
Well,
and it's like, wow, okay. Even back then, they were showing us the entire film, but we, for some reason, I don't know, seems more of a... Oh,
have you bought a trailer, though, or theatrical trailer? Because there's a difference. They will have made lots since for DVD releases and things. Whereas you go to the theatrical ones, they're a lot different.
Right.
And, yeah. And like, trailers used to practically show you the entire film and, like come and see.
Mm.
But as we become more, like, savvy, trailers got shorter and snippier and more teasy, and the art form changes, does it?
Yeah, definitely.
So there's different ways of doing trailers now, and we all know it through osmosis, don't we?
Yeah.
We know when it's a bit of a tease. Definitely. We know when it's holding things back. We know when it's showing us the best bits. We know when we've seen how do you know you've seen everything?
Mm. Yeah.
When people say, I've seen everything. Mm. It's because you're used to knowing you've probably seen everything by the way the trailer's cut up.
Mm.
So when people want to slag off this trailer for not showing enough, or just remember that when you're wanking over that trailer that showed you so much.
Mm.
It's you don't want to see people naked before you have sex.
Touché.
You want to see a bit of thigh, don't you? And you want you want that low hanging top.
Yeah.
And you can, that's not being sexist. You can make that bloke thing.
Those short shorts.
Yeah. You tease, don't you?
Yeah.
That's why I wear little boy trunks.
Yeah.
before I come over.
That's why you just pop a little bit of brain out and go,
yeah.
That's what's for pudding.
That's what you do.
It's just tease.
It's a tease. It's an elaborate tease to get you into that cinema.
It is. He also saw Blade Runner, and I'm going to add spoilers if Rutger Hauer's death is his through interview.
I still don't know if I've seen the director's cut of the final cut.
I remember you saying
that. And I still don't know how much that matters.
Yeah, I know. And I don't really want to.
Last time we mentioned it, 2 days later, there was a new cut. So maybe in a couple of days, there'll be another cut.
I think this. Do you know, like, people always go, oh, watch your zodiac sign, watch your star sign. I think it's what. The real question is, what Blade Runner cut did you watch?
That
is how we separate as people now.
Definitely. Man of Many Names at Sparky Wright, Ike Aramba.
That's nice.
North by Northwest, dazzlingly dialogued caper, 8.8739 out of 10.
It's a classic.
Fantastic film.
It's been years since I've seen that. I need to watch it again.
Is it better than East is East?
Yes. Simon Robertson at CA Flash, the John Cena game. Have you seen the animated version of John Cena in Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery? Nearly had to reach for the tissues. I'm such a sad old homo. I saw it in Tesco yesterday and nearly bought it on the basis of cartoon Cena. This is the game that Scott and Dan played on the YouTube channel.
John Cena's Sexy High School Adventure.
Which was incredible and everything I hoped it was and more.
It was a ride. I decommended Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery.
You did.
And I decommended Flintstones SmackDown.
Fun Times.
Wrestle SmackDown. Their latest weird Hanna-Barbera tie.
Yeah.
And I'll look forward to the next one.
Wacky races, could they be?
It'll be Jetsons or something next, won't it?
They did a wacky race.
I'd watch a wacky, like a WWE wacky races, and the old, like the Undertaker's got like the Crypt Keep and. Oh my God! Did we just?
That would be
did
amazing.
Did we just?
What? That would be one I would watch. Well, I didn't particularly love wacky races, but wacky to see wrestlers in that form,
definitely.
Oh my God, that would really work.
It would. Gonna happen.
I'm not excited by that. It's not even happening.
I'm trying to think of a Penelope Pitstop one, but the only female wrestler in my head is Trish Stratus, and she's probably been not really there for like 20 years.
She's in the Hall of Fame now. AJ Lee's retired. It'll be like Paige or Nikki the Bella Twins. Something.
Okay.
There we go. I can translate it to modern day parlance.
It's going
to
happen. It's here when someone else does it. We've got it recorded for posterity.
Vince McMahon pays our dues.
We've done it.
Just pays what we're owed.
There was a news story from many, many, many episodes ago about Batkid, the kid who the Make-A-Wish Foundation, where they set up the entire city and went on a Batman adventure with villains and everything. It's now got a documentary coming out, hashtag SFBatKid, at Batman on Film. There is a trailer online. It just looks heartwarming and incredible that we finally get to see this.
It should have happened to me. Why does he get it?
Because he's dying.
What?
He's dying.
But, let me see this for a minute. It's a lovely story that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and it melted my heart like everyone else's.
Definitely.
Also, I am really jealous. that is not a lie.
Buttercup Cameltoe at Jazz_Pirate. Ooh. The Beethoven universe we spoke about contains 8 movies, a video game, and an animated
TV
series.
I told you it was a cinematic universe.
Yeah,
you,
it's an entire. I looked it up.
It's something.
Fuck.
What was?
8 movies, a game, and an animated TV series.
Hmm?
Fucking hell.
And the collectible trading card game.
Ooh.
That's a lot. JTW at Artie Fufkin. This seems right up your street. Useless, weird superheroes and villains from the past. And there was a blog, gone-and-forgotten.blogspot.co.uk. There was some really... I didn't scroll through all of them, but Rainbow Man, Peter Porkchops, The Wind, and Red Rain.
The problem is, when I see lists like that, is they're not more ridiculous than ones I know, like that. Do exist like Crazy Quilt.
Yes.
He's my go-to, but DC, he's amazing. Kite Man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? These exist.
Yeah.
Unironically, in a lot of incarnations. So, And they're all inherently silly when you take them out of context. But you read a crazy quilt story and tell me he's not awesome.
I'm there. I hope he's in Suicide Squad as a cameo. We don't know when he's going to just appear.
I have been campaigning for Crazy Quilt in a Batman film for as long as I've had breath.
Can you imagine if they announced that?
I just want a really dark version of him. That he, like, fucks with people's eyes so they can't see colour.
Mm.
And he's just got a mad quilt cape. And he can just be crazy.
Played by Johnny Depp.
Yeah, of course, in a hat.
Definitely.
Sounds like his role.
You can live Star Trek Voyager every day at Fally Baldwin. Tweeted us a link. This Star Trek studio flat for 70 grand on Rightmove in Hinckley in the UK. There's an awesome Star Trek flat.
Which was being sold because he was a paedophile.
Ah, really? I didn't know that. I just saw a picture.
Promoting that, Steve.
I just saw the photo. Yeah. Okay,
no, you didn't know.
Oh, shit.
And that's why I think Holospy put, I hope they cleaned his computer.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's apparently, that's his real shame, but...
Well, he was.
Disturbing. It's a shame because we can't enjoy that as much as we should because some disgusting perverts made it.
That should be like a geeky sort of... place of worship rather than like, you know, a paedophile death trap.
Yeah. Do you want to see? It's no longer, do you want to come in the back of my van and see my puppy? No. Come and look at my Voyager set in my bedroom.
Which should get us all, which is what scares me the most. Really? Can you imagine if someone turned up in a van and said to us, do you want to see our fucking Voyager room? Mm. I'd be like, shit, we're going, aren't we? Mm.
JTW, anti fucking relevant to your interests. Kirsty at Emotional Pedant, tweeted as
Emotional Pedant.
Yeah, Emotional Pedant at Emotional Pedant. Michael Brown.
Oh, that's a Twitter handle.
Paul Blatt, Anal Cup, Don't Mess His Panties poster. And it was a Paul Blatt, More Cup poster that had been defaced and was very, very funny.
I thought you were saying hashtag Emotional Pedant.
Oh, no, Kirsty at Emotional
Pedant. And I thought someone was going to, like, go, you weren't angry. Like, tell you how we felt for something.
I was linking in with relevant to your interests. It was a kind of
I
follow-up.
I really, really need to watch Paul Blatt More Cup.
So do I. Can we watch it? I've got a week off.
As soon as it's available somehow.
Can we watch it?
Yeah.
It is available. We can watch it.
Because, I think they want to know. They
want to know. Yeah. The Tangirl screening on the 2nd of June at the Green Room in Sheffield is happening. If you are in Sheffield or surrounding areas, we are showing Tangirl at the Green Room on the 2nd of June. Come along, there'll be popcorn, prizes.
Batman!
Ah!
Sorry.
And such.
I'm knocking over treasured mascots.
You are.
Yes, we've delayed that a couple of times. Sorry,
we have indeed.
Sorry, eagle-eyed peeps.
Yeah, sorry about that, but we it's going to be more awesome than ever.
Mm-hmm. Banjo the movie at Banjo Movie and at Refuse Liam on Twitter. He's taking the movie to. We interviewed him a while ago.
But yeah, he was making Banjo, wasn't he?
He was making Banjo. We spoke to him a couple of years ago.
Liam worked with Troma for a few years, and then he made a short film called Banjo about a man who sees an imaginary
President Nixon.
Now he's made it into a full-length film, and it was screened at Cannes. So we're going to see it soon.
Cannes, obviously, is a great film festival, but every time someone says Cannes, my brain goes, me Cannes. My precious antique cans. And it's like some weird mental Tourette's where every time someone says cans and I giggle. Why? Cans is not inherently funny.
Moving on from that, your favourite movie scene involving cans, one of you tweeted.
cans. My precious antique
so Hollow cans. Hollow Spite, I could only think of one default favourite and I assume that was the one. The picture,
was it?
Of, a picture of a man in a suit with a can. But no,
that's from Simpsons, man.
Oh, there was a man in a suit with a can, and I'm not sure where that's from. No.
I've not seen it, Steve.
There's a picture of a man.
I know. You. I know.
Yeah.
Did he have a can?
I wonder whether the Simpsons
was it a picture?
Was
it a picture of a man with a can?
And there was a can. And
was he with a can?
Surrounding the can
was
a shape, and it looked like a man in a suit. It was really weird. So moving swiftly on.
I've not seen it, so... But describe it to me.
With a can.
The can?
Right.
Danny Mac at Danny Mac 25. There's got to be a can in there somewhere, and tweeted us a picture of the Tin Can Man from The Wizard of Oz.
He is a can. He's a wandering can.
And Ike Rumba at Sparky Wright. Different kind of cans, I'll grant you, but Princess Vespa in Spaceballs, and tweeted us a video of Daphne Zuniga playing Princess Vespa.
It's got to be loads of, like, people shooting gun cans. Robocop, doesn't Robocop have that?
Mm. Yeah, Robocop's kind of cans.
I like Moulin Rouge, because you can.
Ah, he's only done it. He's only gone and done it. Hashtag nailed it.
Oh, yeah. The Eventpera Freya at Run Roller Run. Suddenly Milan is of interest to me. Wes Anderson has designed a cafe, Bar Lucha, in Milan. And Wes Anderson's designed this amazing looking cafe.
Is it really sardonic and have Bill Murray in the corner?
Oh,
is everything symmetrically placed?
Yes.
Is everyone slightly annoying and unrealistic?
Yes. Is it well made and incredibly quirky and people make out it's slightly better than it is?
Yeah. Yes, all of the above. Can we go? Scott and Dan play Sega Genesis Mortal Kombat on YouTube, and John Cena's Sexy High School Adventure, so you should check those out on our YouTube channel.
Along with Hyrule, you're still going on that, aren't you?
Oh yeah, Sonic, we've got Iron Bread coming up, and Kitty
Powers.
Oh, that
was brilliant, I watched Iron Bread, I was naughty and I watched it.
Very
Kitty Powers Matchmaker. We've got all sorts coming, if you want us to play anything specific... then let us know on the Twitter or the email, which is something.
Weeklygeekspeak@gmail.com.
Well, I like that. I want the Twitter.
At Weeklygeekspeak.
Oh, that wasn't standing
here. It wasn't. There are a couple more. The Supergirl trailer, JTW at Artie Fufkin. I'm quietly impressed.
I think it looks fun.
Yeah, I think that looks really fun. It's kind of Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Meet superheroes. Mm. And it also, I thought, dealt with the gender thing where she was like, why girl? And she's like, why are you not proud to be a girl? You know, I'm a girl, I'm strong and things.
Mm.
And that was the thing that I think it wanted to tackle is it can be fun and light and things, and it doesn't mean that it has to be girly. I really want to watch it.
Yeah,
a lot of people have weirdly attacked it for being a bit like overly sexist and placating, but I think it looks cool. It's going for that slightly Devil Wears Prada, Ugly Betty sort of comedy.
Mm.
Whilst being a badass superhero, and she'll be empowering, and she seems cool. She seems a good character. Give it a chance.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm going to be watching it. I think it looks good.
Yeah, definitely. Spike Yawns at Spike Yawns. Unfortunately, you're repeating the incorrect origin of Posh.
Who was?
Yeah, me.
You were.
Snopes, apparently, isn't it? It's not right. Apparently, it's a thing that's tailed off that people believed for years and years and years, but it's not quite right. Which is a shame. I can't remember. At Andrew Hunt, Andrew Hunt, there's a Superman piece. I believe there's a blog on our website you can check out.
I like Superman. I want to read that.
It's on our website, weeklygeekspeak.com.
I'll have to look at that.
And finally, what superhero movies are you looking forward to? Dave at Wilbro Jr. 36, Deadpool, Wonder Woman, Guardians 2, TBC, and Captain Marvel.
I can't wait for TBC. It's all to be confirmed. But I know I'll be watching it.
Mm.
Do you know what's quite sad? That's a joke. Like, we don't know when it's going to be confirmed. But I know I'm going to watch whatever that is.
Yeah, definitely.
How sad is that?
You don't even have to give it a title. It's got a man in a suit in it.
Warner Brothers and Disney could just be like, TBC, Superhero 2018. And I'm like, oh, I'm watching a film in June.
Yeah.
Well, it's another £7 down before.
Well, Scott Inkson at Scotty Magic is looking forward to Batman vs. Supes, Deadpool, Suicide Squad, and Civil War.
The most, if I had to pick four out of the.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Spider-Man.
I'd agree with those.
Flash. I could have listed them all, except for Doctor Strange.
I'm curious about the Inhumans. That's one of the last ones on the thing. To see what they do with that. Batman vs. Superman, actually, Suicide Squad is probably my one, and Deadpool.
Cool.
They've already introduced the Inhumans.
Have they?
And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is really odd, isn't it?
That's cool.
I suppose sow the seeds early on and it's in people.
It's really cool, but I'm just weirdly surprised seeing that they're doing a film about it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're doing a film about it.
Mm. Wow.
But it's Marvel. They get away with all sorts.
Yeah, they can. And we've not had it for a while. This week, the geeks have baked Bex at Arbitrary Genius. Who wants to see the test Ant-Man baking? Lemon and poppy seed muffins as the anthills, lime icing as the grass, and chocolate peanut ant sea. I knew I'd return to baking when I'd had a decent night's sleep. They looked awesome.
Can I just say, without any other comment, that's awesome, by the way. It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash finale happened, and it's the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
Can everyone watch that show, please?
Okay.
Sure you do. Watch that show.
It's literally the best finale.
I do need to watch it.
I'm using literally correctly.
Okay.
I also want to add that, honestly, I know we thank you at the end of every show, but we've got about half an hour of content there, and we haven't even had to do it. Well, Steve's had to write them down, but thank you for providing that. So you get so many interactions and comments and tweets. It's lovely, and we appreciate it. So please carry on doing it. Remember, we are there for you. If you want to blog or write for us, please do let us know. If you want to send us a piece to put in this podcast, if you like to record things and you've got something to say, send us something. We'll listen to it and we'll add it. If it's brilliant, but if it's rubbish, we won't. Like if you're just like rasping down a microphone, like there, and that's what I thought of Tron Legacy.
I'd want to put that in.
I'd put that in actually.
Yeah.
It's no worse than having me on every week.
True. But thank you very much. You can follow us at Weekly Geek Speak, and you can find us on Facebook. Give us a like. Let us know your Mad Max thoughts. If you have ever shat on a toadstool, let us know. And
what?
Also, just. Rate us and review us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher and Pakistan. Thank you very much for
listening. Every little thing helps. If it's a rating, a subscription or an interaction. Or a comedy moustache you send us through the post.
Do we have an address?
Scott's house, 29 Scott Street. Scotland.
You have a land.
We only just worked that out. There Will Be Blood, isn't it?
I haven't seen it, I don't know.
See Can-Can-Can?
Well, it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Eating from a Can-Can-Can.
Ah, okay.
So.
I hoped you guys would have seen it, but you hadn't.
So. I'm sorry.
No, it's
But
right.
You described it wonderfully.
A man in a suit.
It is a man with a can. It is. How did I not get it?
I know, come on.